Jesus took from eternity when he came into this world. He came to walk that road to the cross. And I was thinking too about the occasion this morning and maybe what might encourage us to continue on in the work that Christ has called us to. So I thought this morning we'd look together at John chapter 9 and verses 1 through 7. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus. "But this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said this, he spat on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam." This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. And we're going to take another journey to the cross with Jesus, because this is the gospel, the good news that tells about Jesus and his life. And we want to learn lessons here that he has written for our learning, that we might also take that journey with him to the cross. Now, I wish that the cross were more central in the preaching of Christians. I know there are many issues, but I can't think of one issue that really is not addressed at the foot of the cross. So I believe if we will come to Jesus and if we will do like he says, take up our crosses daily and follow him, we'll begin to understand what Paul meant when he said, "I want to know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings." And of course, that is that way of the cross that Jesus is really on here. He doesn't really mention the cross, but he does mention the shortness of time that he had. Now, he was just a young man at this time, 30 years of age, that's young to me. Yet he only had a short time to accomplish what God had put him here to accomplish. So what will help us on that journey that Jesus calls us to, the journey to the cross? Well, there are three instructions, or three descriptions, rather, of our Savior that are instructive of our journey to the cross. And I want us to look, first of all, we're looking at verse 4 there. I want us just to focus on that verse, and not to the exclusion of the context, but I just want to dwell for the moments that we have, especially upon the words of verse 4. Jesus said, as long as it is day, we must do the work of Him who sent me. So He set an example for us to follow in our work. Now we've been called, again, to that way of the cross. We've been called to be Christians, which really means Christ ones. And being Christ ones, we must walk that way of the cross. Otherwise, we are really in denial of our calling. And I'm not a masochist. I don't like pain. I don't like to inflict pain upon myself. I don't even like it when I scratch my finger. I mean, it hurts. And so I don't think it means that we're oblivious to pain. It just means that we cannot experience that fellowship with Jesus that He calls us to unless we walk that road of the cross with Him. So that's the work, really, that Jesus is talking about here. As long as it is day, we must do. Did you notice He said we? He didn't say I must do. But He said we must do the work of Him who sent me. So there's an example to follow. And in that example, there is a participation. Jesus is the Son of God, and yet He works. Now, we would think that if anyone was entitled not to work, it would be Jesus. I mean, after all, He's the Son of God. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And yet He said, while it is day, we must do the work. I wish that there was another way, frankly. I mean, I'm not built to be a workaholic. I sometimes get in that mode, but you know, I'm kind of like the rest of you, kind of have the lazy nature. Maybe there's someone, an exception here. I'm sure there are one or two. But most of us, I think, shun from hard work, at least, where the sweat, well, it doesn't take much to bring sweat on our brows here, does it? But I think we know what we're talking about here. Jesus said work. We must do the work of Him that sent me. There's no other way around it. There is work to do if we are to walk with Jesus on that way of the cross. And there's work for all of us because Jesus said we must do the work of Him who sent me. So He calls us to participation in that work. Now He also calls us to a partnership. Jesus viewed His work as partnership with His Father. He said we must do the work of Him who sent me, meaning the Father. And no work will succeed without this partnership. God has built us that way, that we must partner with Him. That's the message of the book of Genesis and how God created the first human pair in the garden. And He created them with work to do, gave them work to do in that garden. Part of that message is that we are to participate with Jesus. He calls us to participate with Him. He calls us to be partners together, not only with Him, but with one another. And again, Jesus said we must do the work. So that implies that we must work together under Jesus to do that work. Now that's, again, I think it's a counter to our nature as fallen human beings. Now I believe God did certainly create us in His image. And so we have this desire to be like God. I mean, I think it's a desire that God puts in each human heart, but we fall short because of sin. We're far from being where we should be. I think it's why sometimes in families we have these divisive things that happen. Sometimes they just come out of the blue and we're, you know, not really prepared to meet them. And I think in a family of faith, we're always going to have those. We're always going to have some disagreements. And the devil is going to be there to try to divide and conquer is really his strategy. How we overcome that is by partnering together with God the Father and with one another in the work to which He's called us. A punctuality. Jesus said, as long as it is day, we must do the work of Him who sent us. Now Jesus wasn't just talking about the daylight hours, but I think we understand that, how how it's necessary that we have a brief moment of time to accomplish what God has given us to accomplish. And so we ought to be punctual. And when I say punctual, I don't necessarily just mean that we need to be always, looking at our watches or our cell phones or whatever. And we're always punctual that way. Now, I certainly believe that that's part of it, because we can easily squander time. The Bible says that we are to redeem the time because the days are evil. Now, do you kind of see how this might relate to an anniversary of a church? How we only have a limited amount of time to do what God has called us to do? Now, that's certainly true for each of us as individuals in that body. We don't know when God is going to call us home. It might be, 20 years from now, or it might just be a year. It might be any moment. We're all just a heartbeat away from eternity. So we don't know how long that time necessarily is that God has called us to serve Him together. And it's what Jesus meant here. And I don't know that Jesus, being a man, when He came into this world, He apparently limited Himself in the knowledge, the divine prerogative. Some have said He had the prerogative of deity because He was the Son of God and is the Son of God and is God come in the flesh. To be all-knowing, but I'm not sure that at this moment He understood exactly how that was going to be accomplished in God the Father's plan, because He left that up to the Father, and because He wanted to be an example for us, because we don't know. There's some mystery there, but certainly Jesus is here an example for us to follow in our work. There's an excellence to follow here, also an example of Jesus on that road to the cross. An excellence to further, rather. And Jesus said, as long as it is day, we must do the work of Him who sent me. Now that excellence is divine. It's a divine excellence because Jesus said, I must work the works of Him who sent me. Now that just, I think, pretty much says it all. I think if you'll think about that, what that means, He wasn't saying, I must do, the work that I have to do. I must do what I have been assigned my duties as far as work. I think, part of that divine calling, that the Bible says, whatsoever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. We are to be excellent in what we do for God. And I think it's what Jesus said here. I think it's what He meant when He said, we must do the works of Him who sent me. There's a divine excellence. Everything that God does, He does for everything. So we ought to be excellent in our work. What God has called us to, what we have been called together to do as a body of Christ, we should do it in an excellent manner, as unto the Lord and not unto men, the Bible says. So there's a divine excellence. There's a dedicated excellence. Jesus said, we must rather do the work of Him who sent me. It speaks of dedication. And when I say dedicated, I don't mean that we're like Christian workaholics, where we, out of a sense of duty, maybe we become distorted. I think that can happen. I think sometimes, frankly, we need to learn not just to say yes, but sometimes to say no. To say no, not to God, of course, but to those things that we feel duty-bound to do. And we sometimes find ourselves all stressed out about those things. Now, we're in the process of having a nomination process, and it certainly relates to that. You may be one of those who wears, several hats on your several heads. Hopefully you only have one. But, you got those hats stacked up there on your head. You know what I'm talking about, you who are wearing more than one hat. So I just suggest that sometimes there are those that are really, kind of sitting on the sidelines that really need to accept a challenge from the Lord. And we should think about those, not only those who are already busy, maybe perhaps too busy, but those that need a calling from the Lord in His service. So I just suggest these things that I believe are included there in what Jesus is saying. While it is day, we must do the work of Him who sent me. So there's a divine excellence, there's a dedicated excellence, there's a daily excellence. He said as long as it is day. Now I know He's not talking necessarily about a 24-hour day here, but I think in the whole meaning of the phrase there, it certainly more than suggests to me that every day we have a calling from the Lord to walk with Him and to serve Him. And it may be a day where we just get alone with God and meet with Him. We need those kinds of days too. Those kind of downtime days we might call them. But God can speak to us and refresh our spirits and strengthen us for the task that He has called us to. There's an example for us to follow here in the example of Jesus. There is an excellence to further in this calling to the way of the cross. There's also an expiration to foresee. And Jesus said, we must do the works of Him that sent me. While it is day, as long as it is day, we must do the work of Him who sent me. Night is coming when no man can work. And so there's a certainty in that expiration. Doesn't the Bible say it is appointed unto man? And I think that probably means woman too. To die, I think that it definitely means woman. It means mankind. It is appointed unto mankind. In other words, every person has an appointment that he must keep, he or she must keep, and that appointment is death. And unless Jesus comes again, which the Bible says He could come again at any time, we have that certainty of an expiration to this time on earth. Well, either way. I mean, whether the Lord calls us up, I'm going with the undertaker, I hope you are, not the undertaker, but it may be that we will go by way of death. And so we need to realize that. I know it's, you know, well, we know that. I mean, but let it kind of sink into your heart, this urgency that Jesus had when He said, as long as it is day. And we know what the day meant for Jesus. Just about 3 years. Maybe not as long as that from when He made that statement. But a very short life. He said, we must do the works of Him who sent me. A number of years ago, I read the biography of Jim Elliot, who is a missionary to the Aucan Indians in South America, Ecuador, I believe. And back in the 1950s, he and some other missionaries went to this very primitive tribe, Stone Age tribe they were called. Now, I may have shared this before, but Jim Elliot was a very talented young man, very athletic. He was a state champion wrestler. He went to Wheaton College in Illinois, where he was just, I mean, he was probably on everybody's list to be the student most likely to succeed. And yet he went, he answered God's call to go to this very primitive tribe in South America and witness to them about Jesus and about His love. And in the process of a short time, he and several missionaries were murdered by the Aucan Indians. It made all the headlines. And people would say things like, well, Jim Elliot just threw his life away going to South America. This young man who could have, I mean, he had the world at his feet. He could have been anything that he chose. He probably could have been president of the United States. And yet he wrote, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He said, I want not a long life, but a life given to you, my Lord, much like John the Baptist. And I said he wanted to be like John the Baptist, who was a burning and a shining light for Jesus. He said, I don't desire a long life, but a life totally devoted to you, my Lord, who has given your all to me. So there's a certainty in this expiration to perceive. We don't know the day or the hour of the Lord's return, nor do we know how long we have here in our little time here on this earth. So let's be like Jesus. Let's follow Him on that way of the cross and do the work of Him who sent Jesus, who sent us, who sends us to walk in that way of the cross with Jesus. There's an urgency. We can hear it in the words of Jesus here, can we not? Urgency not just because of the hour, which is late, and the time, which is short, but urgency because of the souls that await to hear about Jesus, about His salvation, about the freedom that only He can give. And that is our activity. Jesus really stated it in when he began his earthly ministry, he quoted from the prophet Isaiah. It's found in Luke chapter 4, verses 18 and 19. He said, "I came to preach good news to the poor." Good news. People are waiting to hear that from you and from me. If they did not accept Jesus as their Savior, they're doomed to an everlasting hell. And ask God to put that urgency in your heart that was in Jesus' heart when he spoke these words. He came to preach good news to the poor. He came to proclaim freedom to captives, he said. I came to give recovery of sight to the blind. That's what he did here. We haven't spent a lot of time on the context, but I'm sure you noticed that. That here he is healing the man born blind. Now, he wants to do that not just physically, but he wants to open eyes spiritually to the things of God, to the things of his salvation, to Jesus himself, to invite him into their life. Because the Bible says there is no other Savior than Jesus. He came to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And in that year, to set free the oppressed, but also to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. I think that's 5 points. Maybe I'll preach that sometime. That'd be a good passage to preach from. Well, but in 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2, it says, "But now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation." And so we need to urge upon people that urgency, that necessity to receive Jesus before it's forever too late. And I want to encourage you that are here this morning. First of all, I want to ask you, can you remember a time that you invited Jesus to come into your life? And you would say, you might say, "No, but I believe in it. I believe that he died on the cross. I even believe he died on the cross for my sins." But let me ask you, have you invited him to come into your life? You see, when you invite Jesus to come in, it means more than simply believing up here. It means that we recognize that we need him. That we need him for forgiveness. That we need him to do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. And we are saying to him, "Jesus, come into my life. I hear you knocking." Like you said in Revelation 3:20. You said, if I will open the door, you will come in and fellowship with me. Or sup with me. That's what we're going to do shortly here. Sup with me, and I will sup with you. That's what he wants to do. I want to encourage you to invite him into your life if you've not done that. If you've already done that, to rededicate your life to him, to take that step of obedience that he is calling you to take, to walk with him on that way of the cross.